Welcome to Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Join Jaguars General Manager Gene Smith and your host Cole Pepper as they break down the last Jaguars game and look at the next time the Jaguars take the field. We'll also take a dip inside the Gene Pool to see what makes a player stand out at his position. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith is brought to you by Baptist Health, Ticket Exchange, Wells Fargo, Sonny's Barbecue, your local Jacksonville Teal Deals merchants, and by Everbank. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith begins right now.
And we welcome you in here on a Monday evening. Cole Pepper and the general manager. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith following a, well, I never thought I'd say this, overtime preseason game where the Jaguars lost in Buffalo 35-32. Gene, how are you today?
I'm doing all right.
A busy time for you. Busy time for a lot of folks around here with a quick turnaround to Thursday's game. And, of course, you have to make cuts. Jaguars made a handful of moves today, making three roster cuts. Used to be this would be the cut to 75. Now, is it just this year, or is this a permanent thing that it goes to, from 90 to 80?
Well, it's supposed to be just this year. We had 90 players in camp. So the cut today was made just so that we're under tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the mandated 80-man roster.
All right, so this is a shortcut, and to use a phrase, Todd Bauman, Jairus Wilkinson, the linebacker who was brought in a week or so ago, and wide receiver Greg Ellington all let go. So Bauman was the guy who was brought in when David's back went down. We know his story. I trust you still have the number of the tractor, if need be. And then the other two guys didn't get a whole lot of playing time out there in the preseason. The big cut, of course, comes after the preseason games. You have to have those in by, what is it, Saturday, end of the day Saturday?
That's correct.
So that's a much bigger cut. We're not going to talk about who's going to get cut because there's still another game to go. We can talk about what's happened here to this point. Do want to touch a little bit on the game Saturday night in Buffalo. And also kind of use this as a projection and looking forward. And I want to start with this. Overtime in the preseason. Okay. Is it a good idea? Should there be overtime in the preseason? Do you get more out of it? Is the risk of injury worth the added exposure and evaluation you get?
I don't think so. I'm not sure in the future that it'll be one of the things that people will necessarily vote for. It's surprising that there is overtime, that you wouldn't end a preseason game with a tie.
Were you surprised that the Bills went for two?
Well, at home, with the kind of crowd they had, it was basically family day. Yeah. And there were a lot of fans that hung around as the game became tight. And so, no, I wasn't, not in the end.
And then, of course, both teams had a chance late. Scobie's 53-yard field goal just pulled a little bit to the left, and then the Ryan Lindell field goal the other way for Buffalo got the win. Certainly, when you fall down 17-0, there's a lot to criticize. When you come back and take a 15-point lead, there's a lot to praise. And then when you lose that lead, there's a lot to criticize again. So it's one of those kind of back-and-forth kind of games. And a lot of folks certainly saw the first half or whatnot and had some criticism, and we'll get into some of those things. But I do want to touch on some of the things that were highlights of the game from your standpoint. First thing that pops right out is, Matt Turk, Marco Coleman, who actually played with Matt at one point, made the comment that he's not sure if he actually has shoulder pads on out there or if he just put some paper towels underneath his shoulders, because he's streamlined with what he's wearing. But boy, when he gets into one, those punts are majestic.
They are. He's a guy that certainly can punt the ball over 40 yards with a 5+ hang time. There's not a lot of guys who do that on a regular basis in the NFL, believe it or not.
And remarkable for a guy who's 42, 43 now. He's been doing it for a long, long time. He's in great shape too. I mean, look at how he did. David's run down at the for the touchdown. One of those things that a lot of folks, you can talk all you want about what's happened and you know how the passing game is progressing, but not a lot of quarterbacks make that run.
No, and that's typical David. finding a way to make a play. And if you look at us offensively, yeah, we may not have started how we would have liked. We ended up with 21 first downs. We had 145 yards rushing. We put some points up on the board. When you look at an offense putting us in position to score 25, you would take that any given Sunday in the regular season. So there were some good things, and certainly there were some things that we could definitely improve upon. So you'd like to be farther along. Maybe we thought going in we would play better than what we did, but in the end, you got to give Buffalo some credit.
Yeah, and that third preseason game we talked about last week always gets the most attention. And you would like to be, you would like to have seen something super crisp all the way through, and you'd love to have seen a situation where the first team handled Buffalo's first team, the second team handled Buffalo's second team. How do you judge where things are in the big picture now, considering what happened in the offseason, considering where the goals are for the season opener on September 11th?
Well, in spite of how we performed in the Buffalo game, I mean, there were some good and there were some bad. And I think the fourth preseason game will be more like the old third preseason game this year anyways. I think to a degree, when you talk about player evaluation, the preseason is a little bit about perception and the regular season is all about reality. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in the preseason, there's certain things that are done because there's not a lot of game planning occurring and you're trying to look at a lot of different players in a lot of different roles. I just feel like you really got to know what matchups are occurring, especially when things are taking place to where, a player, let's say in the fourth quarter is putting up big stats, but yet you got to see who is he putting up the stats against.
Got to put him in context for sure.
No question. Yeah. And so that's what I'm saying about sometimes preseason, there's a little bit more perception about what guys are doing. And really when you get into the regular season, that's how you want to see guys perform well, is against starters in real moments of games that count.
Yeah, the scoreboard is there for a reason in the regular season. The preseason, it's there almost out of habit, right? I mean, it's you'd like to win games, but nobody remembers preseason records from one year to the next because it just, what are you playing for? You're playing to get better, to get ready for the regular season.
And I could tell you this, though. It is about player evaluation for sure from a scout's perspective. But I think anyone a part of the organization and any fan, they're still feel good about finding a way to win.
Sure. Yeah, for sure. Two guys I want to talk about. One, one of these stories you hear about occasionally, and it reminded me of the Micah Ross story from several years ago. Jake Ingram, who you signed as a long snapper after Jeremy Cain had back tightened up again, and here's a guy who comes in. I don't even think he was there in time for pregame warmups, was he? Did he arrive right before the game, basically, and got a jersey, went out there, and the first long snap was Russell Allen filling in the pinch. But after that, Ingram got in there, and as if he's been doing it, all along, no hiccups at all, looked like, on the long snapping.
Well, we coached in the Senior Bowl, our staff, a couple years ago, and he certainly showed what he was capable of all week in those practices and in the game itself. We pulled Todd Bauman off a tractor in Minnesota last year, and we pulled him off a river in Sioux Falls this year. I commend him for getting on that plane and getting here in time, and he had a police escort to the stadium. And he did get there right before kickoff. He got a few warm-ups in terms of some long snaps to Matt, and he did a fine job in the game.
Yeah, pretty. I don't know how his fishing went, but he was pretty good there getting in. It's not often a long snapper gets a police escort to the game. That's a rarity. I don't know if Joe Zelenka maybe got one at one point with all his fans, but you got to get him there, get him in there, and let him start snapping. We'll talk about the quarterback situation as well. Of course, that's an ongoing conversation, particularly in the preseason. Also coming up, we'll have the Scout's Eye Unsung Player of the Week. And again, this is the guy who didn't necessarily make the highlight play the game-changing play, but a guy who maybe stood out in the Scout's Eye. We'll see if you can pick it out as well. Gene will be announcing that in a bit. If you want to submit your guess, you can do that via Facebook, facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars. Just do it right there under the Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith section that started up. You can also do it via Twitter. You can just tweet it to me, Cole Pepper, at Cole Pepper, C-O-L-E-P-E-P-P-E-R, and we'll find if anybody has the same eagle eye as the scouts to see who was the scouts' eye unsung player of the week. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the guys who will be back on the field and a rookie who made his preseason debut in Buffalo and how that will play out as we get closer to the regular season. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more. Stop by Gate today. Back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Getting ready for the final preseason game of 2011. Thursday against the Rams, a 7:30 kickoff. We'll have coverage beginning at 4:30 with the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Time now for an injury update brought to you by Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care. Today in the locker room, had a chance to talk with a couple of Jaguars, Maurice Jones-Drew and Aaron Campman, among those who expect to be back on the field. Tyson Alualu saying he's looking forward to getting back out there. And among all these things, Gene, one of the things that I noticed between games and practices and training camp sessions, I don't know if there have been more than a handful of occurrences where every single starter on defense has been out there playing at the same time together. Maybe there's been one or two in practice or here and there, but with Campman being limited and with Session having the concussion and something, I'm really looking forward to seeing all the defensive guys, that full group of starters out there together doing their thing.
Well, we'll see how the week goes here on a couple of the players, because we're still going to be smart with these preseason games and how we utilize our players. So it's about the regular season for sure, more than it is about the preseason.
For a guy like Campman, who has played in with the same guys he's going to line up next to, who's played here, who's played in this, the system. He's moving back, playing more on the left side than he did last year, but that was where he played quite a bit before. He's a veteran. He's a very bright guy. How much time does he actually need on the field in the preseason, do you think?
Well, I think it's an excellent question. I think it varies on the position you play. With him, that was the position that I played and coached, certainly not at this level, but I think it's one that you don't need as much in terms of repetition in practice or game to be ready to play like some other positions. He does a lot of work in preparation on his own, and I feel like he'll get a taste of it come Thursday night. And then, he's getting some work in practice, and you put all that together. We'll have a defined role for him in our opener that'll, be smart again with how he's being worked back into live action.
I want to get your reflection on a comment that Marco Coleman made after the ball game with us. He said, you look at the guys who are out, Alualu, Mincy, Campman, Session, Maurice Drew. A lot of these are energy guys. These are guys who are really catalysts for the, the energy on both sides of the football, guys who really create things. How much stock do you put in guys who are catalysts like that? And when they're not in, does it change the way an offense or a defense operates?
Well, it does. From a scout's perspective, those are players that we know what they can do. So, again, I'm selfish. It gives us a chance to look at other players. But you talk about a group that not only has energy but inspiration. Mm-hmm. These are players that bring a lot to your huddle. Not just playmaking on the field, and I'm very eager to see some of them myself. I mean, in a live game situation, because Maurice and Aaron have done some very good things in practice. I mean, Maurice looks like he's got a lot of juice in his legs. I know he's excited, just like Aaron is, to get out there. But again, there's a process to this, and we're staying with it.
All right, we'll talk about some of the other players, and one guy that I kind of teased before the break, Chris Prozinski, draft pick this year, got a chance to get in for the first time. What did you see out of the rookie from Wyoming?
Well, he had a chance to close the game out. Mm-hmm. He had an opportunity for an interception, did not come down with the ball, broke up the pass. That would have given us three interceptions on the game. But, we had chances. I know Josh would like to have that field goal over. I mean, we sure. could have closed the game out. We didn't do it, and I take my hat off to the Buffalo Bills.
The difference in a guy playing his first game in the NFL and his second game, a lot of times they say, all right, now they have something to work from. And you've talked in the past about liking Przinski as a guy who can cover a lot of ground, has great speed, and so forth. Is he up to the speed? Is he playing at the speed that he will once he gets comfortable?
He's not where he was at the start of training camp. Yeah. He's coming off a hamstring, and he's still trying to play through some of the soft tissue injury he had a couple weeks ago. So is he 100% yet? No. And the other thing about it is the speed of the game once you get into – that situation after being away from practice so long, it takes some time to get back into the flow of it mentally.
Getting a lot of questions on Facebook and from folks around town about the wide receivers and about the passing game and how that's coming along. It's really intriguing to me to watch those three undrafted rookies. I mean, we talked about Cecil Shorts, but to watch Armin Benz and Jamar Newsom and then Dontrell Inman, names that are not certainly well-known, I don't think, to most Jaguars fans or most around the league, but here are undrafted rookies who've had a short time to adjust to life in the NFL. They all have a little different style of play in that position, and it seems like that's a pretty good battle between those three guys going on.
It is, and you are correct. All three do some different things, but we just need one guy to grab the bull by the horns, and none of them have done that yet. So part of it's just due to the fact, like a lot of these rookies this year, got the playbook when training camp started. There's 90 in camp, so there's not a lot of reps. You got one football when you get out there in team situations. So it's not just here. It's everywhere around the league.
Well, let's talk about the quarterbacks. How do you assess what the quarterbacks did? Both Garrard and Gabbert got a pretty good amount of playing time in Buffalo.
Well, I think they can both certainly do better. I think if you break them down, there are some things that they did well, but overall, I'm hopeful that going into the game Thursday night, they'll both take another step. Certainly in Blaine's case, with no out-of-season, it's a little bit more difficult for a rookie. David's been in the system with Dirk Cutter, and I think you should see a lot better things this week than last week. And I'm just talking about the whole offense, not just the quarterback position.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that for sure against St. Louis. And we'll take some of your questions on Facebook.com/JacksonvilleJaguars and also via the Twitter feed. You can tweet it to me at Cole Pepper, ColePepper. Time now for to announce the Scouts Eye Unsung Player. Again, the guy who made the plays that maybe went unnoticed by the highlight reels. So who is the unsung player from the game in Buffalo?
Well, I made it a little easier this week. Kevin Rutland.
Yep.
Kevin on kickoff coverage made a tackle. He actually recovered a fumble on the punt coverage unit, but it was nullified by the fact we had a penalty on the play. And then he had five tackles in a PBU in the game, plus he forced a receiver out of bounds in the end zone. So he actually showed up in on defensive snaps and on special team snaps.
The most he has shown up so far in the preseason? I don't recall having.
Well, he had a soft tissue injury, too. Yeah. I mean, it's unfortunate that we've had a lot of these, but it was basically, I think, expected by most people around the league with this lockout and not having OTAs and not having your training staff, your strength coaches, their hands on these players that – they were going to come in, and a lot of these young guys are competing very hard, and so we had probably more than the norm.
All right, so that is the Scouts Eye Unsung Player. There's the Scouts Eye from high above calling it out. All right, we'll take time out. When we come back, we'll jump into the gene pool. We'll also take some of your questions and comments from Facebook and Twitter, as well as talk about some of the other guys to watch as we close in on the final preseason game of 2011. That's straight ahead here on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back, Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. We get ready for the final preseason game, Thursday, 7:30 for kickoff here at Everbank Field. Fans, just text BBQ to 72239. And enter for a chance to win the Sunny's Game Ball Delivery Contest. You could hand the game ball to the ref at the start of the next Jaguars home game. Every week we dissect a player, a particular position, and we do that by jumping into the gene pool. This week's gene pool position, strong side linebacker. And outside linebackers is a general rule. We'll see if our information is the same here again, Gene. I've got 6'2", 230, running to 4'7", 40 for all outside linebackers. Strong side linebackers, typically coverage guys. So what do you have for size for your typical size guys?
Okay, coming out of the combine last year, 6'0", 1'7". So if all you right. like them, they're 6'2".
You love that one, yeah.
243, running 4'7". And then in the NFL, a starter at that position is 6'0", 2'1". 246 running 4.66.
So a little faster, a little heavier, about the same height, more or less. Those are the average numbers. What's ideal? What do you look for ideally out of that position?
Well, you're looking for length. Guys with long arms. But, you know, football players come in all different shapes and sizes. So let's just look at the Jaguars through our history. I would point out Darryl Smith, 6014, 244, 4.66. He's got 33-inch arms, so he's got length. He's actually one of the only guys I know that has muscles in his forearms.
He looks like he's got the Popeye forearms,
he
right?
He does. And then if you go back a few years to Kevin Hardy, mm-hmm. Kevin made the Pro Bowl, 6043, 245, and 476, and he had 34-inch arms. And if you go back to the history of the Giants, like when Coughlin was there with Bill Parcells, obviously, they had a couple guys, Carl Banks mm-hmm. and LT, guys with length playing on the edges for them of their defense. If you look in the NFL today, it would be the Pittsburgh Steelers, Lamar Woodley as their left outside linebacker, and as their right outside linebacker would be James Harrison. If you look at, you know, back when I was following the Steelers, it was Kevin Green. As a left outside linebacker, and Greg Lloyd as a right outside linebacker. And then if you look at the Patriots, left outside linebacker Willie McGinnis and right outside linebacker Mike Vrabel, they won some Super Bowls. And then if you just look at our front, though, because those are three, four fronts when you're talking about left and right outside linebackers, in our front, it's the Sam. It is the strong side linebacker, and it's a guy that in your over front can play off the line. You know, to the tight end side or the two receiver side. And then if you play your under front where you kick down into kind of an odd look, he can play up over a tight end on the line of scrimmage and stack that tight end against the run.
And that's usually, people say, all right, well, what makes a strong side versus a weak side? This is a little bit, maybe not football 101, maybe it's 102 here, but just to make sure everybody's on the same page, strong side of the formation is usually when you have where you have the tight end or where you have a double wide receiver side, so you have more guys, you know, to that side of the field than you do to the other side of the field, and that's why coverage becomes a bigger issue, particularly for a 4-3 strong side linebacker.
Yes, and you know, in our front, he's going to be playing off the line, just like the Mike and the Will, and he does have a lot of spatial situations where he's got to be able to, you know, transition to react to routes. So he's got to be a good athlete. He can't just be a guy that, you know, stacks tight ends up on the line of scrimmage. He's actually got to be able to move and cover.
All right. What other non-measurables? You talk about being an athlete overall, being good in space, being able to move around when he's out in the open. But what other non-measurables do you look for in a strong side linebacker?
Well, you like awareness because obviously they got to be able to react to play action in a timely manner. I really believe, you know, it takes a good football player to play that position because of the different things you're going to ask that guy to do. I mean, he's got to play with strength up on the line against the run, and then he's got to be athletic enough to flip his hips and to be productive in coverage. And really, Darryl Smith played all three positions. I think playing to his strength is playing the Sam linebacker spot. And, you know, he's just been a very consistent, very productive player throughout his career here.
All right, so every week we talk about who's best, whether best Jaguar all the time, best currently in the league, best you ever saw. Who's the best strong side linebacker?
Well, I'm going to lean on Kevin Green because here's a guy that had 160 sacks in 15 years. He might have been a little tight in the hips, so more straight line speed, but he was a hard charging, rugged football player. And I grew up, I guess, in some years when the Steelers were fairly good, and he was playing, like I said, on the left side, and Greg Lloyd was playing on the right side, and they were putting up quarterbacks in this league under duress. It seemed like every snap. So I'm going to go with Kevin Green from Auburn.
All right, Kevin Green is the best out of the outside linebackers. All right, next week we'll have some fun. We'll get into the running backs on the Gene Pool. That should be a lot of fun. Every week we analyze one of the positions in the National Football League. All right, let's get some questions in from Facebook and from Twitter.
Yeah, time to get social, Coley, with Copy Facts. Our question of the night actually comes from two folks. We got the same question. Craig and Tim really like Dewan Harris, and they hope he can stick around. Gene, what are your thoughts on the rookie running back?
Well, he's done some very good things. I thought in the game, you know, he is one of those guys that I could have recognized as the unsung hero, but that would have been too easy. He did too many good things. He's explosive, and he's a guy that certainly has a role. He's more of a specialty halfback at this point. I think he could have some value on special teams because he is a competitor. And I like backs that run low to the ground. They just have a greater sense of balance. They're tougher to find, and you know, I call them pile poppers. I mean, when they come out of the pack, and Emmett Smith did that a lot in his career, they end up taking angles away from people. And so he's really done a nice job, I think, in training camp, and he certainly has done it with his opportunities in games. We just need him to secure the football better.
You know, interesting. If you were to look over at somebody and, you know, get some peanuts from the vendor or something and look back just as the handoff was happening and you saw him running, style-wise, sort of the way he carries the ball, and he kind of looks like he's doing his best Maurice Jones-Drew impression from just a running side, talking about low to the ground, not just because of height, but a running style that's low to the ground. He's got a little bit of that, look.
He does, and if I had to tailor my game around somebody, it would be Maurice myself.
That'd be a pretty good way to do it.
No question. Maurice is, without question, on this football team and even the NFL, one of the top competitors that there is.
All right, let's get some questions here from Facebook. How about the wide receiver issue? Mike here says he likes Thomas, Hill, and Shorts, but looking for somebody to play up to the number one wide receiver position, and wants to know, you know, how they've been looking at this point, and if you think that, looking back on it, that the free agency, you should have found more wide receivers in free agency.
Well, I think we have some guys that can do it. They just need to step forward. We've played a lot of different guys in a lot of different roles. Two guys that have done some very good things are certainly Mike Thomas and Cecil Shorts, if I had to single two guys out from my perspective. But again, I look at a receiving group, not just the wide receivers. So involving our tight ends and our running backs into stressing the defense in the passing game, I think we got strength in numbers there.
You mentioned Kevin Rutland as the scout's eye unsung player. It doesn't take, you know, when you're battling for those last few, or, you know, maybe three, four, five, whatever it is, spots that are open on the roster, and you're doing it on special teams, and you're doing it on defense or the position you play, how much do you need to, you know, do put in terms of weighing performance in a game versus what you see in practice?
Well, some guys who don't get a lot of opportunities in the game, maybe their number's not called or the ball's not thrown at them. As long as it's padded exposures in practice, you can get a good indicator. But we're really looking for players that have value. And so the more you can do, the more value you have. So versatility equals value. And like I said, he did some very good things on defense and also on special teams. So it certainly gives you a good feel that he may have a chance to get in your game day 46, which really gives you a chance to make your 53.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
That's a nice game for a player to have last week.
Let's talk a little bit about the offensive line. I remember years and years and years ago, I'm starting to date myself here, hearing Tom Coughlin say that the offense, you know, offensive linemen as individuals and the offensive line as a unit is the last thing to come together. You know, it takes the longest for those guys to progress in their career and for them to figure out how to fit everything together. Have you seen the kind of improvement with the offensive line, even with some guys moving in, moving out so far in the preseason that you want to see?
Well, you got two new starters. You got Will Rackley at left guard. You got Guy Wimper at right tackle. And against Buffalo, that was actually one of our bright spots, our offensive line play. They did some outstanding things at times, and two of their best players on their team, number one is their first pick in the draft this year, and Kyle Williams. And both of those guys played the first half. And so Will Rackley got a taste of what a real defensive tackle, besides seeing a couple of our guys throughout the practices, is like. And so I thought it was a good work in that game for our entire offensive line.
Yeah, we talked about on the defensive side seeing not having a chance to see all the components in there together. Same thing can be said of the offense. We haven't seen the offense with all the starters in there. Evan Britton, Maurice Drew missed time here. So it may be the regular season's opener before we see all the projected starters out there all together. And it's kind of tantalizing. All right, well, how's it all going to come together? You may have a good feel for that. I think a lot of fans are wondering, hey, how's it all going to come together? How's it all going to fit together when the regular season opener gets here?
No question. They're not out there every day. So there is a level of unknown. So I understand that. But, again, we want to be prepared for the real games and have our best players available. And so I like the approach that we have taken.
All right. So we'll take time out here. Come back with more of your questions on Facebook and Twitter for the general manager. Become a part of the Jaguars Advantage, the new Jaguars fan loyalty program. With Jaguars Advantage, season ticket owners can earn up to 15% cash back at hundreds of their favorite online retailers. For more information, go to jaguarsadvantage.com. We're back with more Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith right after this timeout here on Jaguars Radio. We welcome you back. Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. Final segment here on a Monday night. Tomorrow night, it's the Jack Del Rio Show. Then on Wednesday, Jaguars This Week presented by Aetna as Brian, Jeff, and John have a chance to chat about things. And then, of course, we have the Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Joe will not let them have a chance to chat about things, apparently. 4:30 on... Oh, and maybe Tony, you said. Maybe Tony Baselli. Get the pride of the Jaguars in here.
Then nobody gets to talk.
That's just the way it is. Sonny's Real Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show. Come out and say hi. We'll be outside there at Gate 1. So as you come on by, say hey to us. And usually we have some good food out there. C-Best usually has some food for us. And come on by, grab a snack, enjoy the thing. We'll talk a little football before the Jaguars and the Rams. Couple of moves, by the way, involving former Jaguars. And I say former because they are recently former. The Colts picked up safety Michael Hamlin, and the Patriots signing wide receiver Tyquan Underwood. So apparently the injury to Wes Welker a little bit more significant. We'll see. Tyquan, just as nice a kid as you can find. I hope he does well and hooks on there. Just never could quite make that separation. We know we can run. Never could quite make that separation with the Jaguars, and we'll see how it goes there in New England. Rams coming up. And we do want to talk a little bit about the final matchup. We were kind of chatting in the break. We have been so conditioned that the third preseason game is the most important one, right? And everybody looks at that one and says, right, this, if you're going to make a projection as to how a team is going to be in the regular season, base it on that and then try to make a fair comparison to the guys they're facing off against. But you think that the fourth preseason game may be, we should look at that game more like the third preseason game is traditionally viewed.
Well, I think so, just based on how teams handled training camp this year with 90 players after a lockout. You didn't get a lot of your players till August the 4th or thereafter. We signed some guys after that date. And, you know, the practice time was reduced with the new CBA. So you're going into that first preseason game, and a lot of players were held out. And the frontline players did not play a lot, which is okay for a scout. But from a coach's perspective, I think going into it, most people took the approach, we're going to make the fourth game more relevant than, let's say, in years past because of this unique year that we're in. And I think that makes sense. I really do.
And with almost a week and a half off after that, I mean, it used to be the reason you would play your starters the least in game four, you wanted to avoid injuries, right? You didn't, even little nicks and scrapes. You didn't want guys to be – now you got a bigger gap. Most of the teams play on Thursday, then don't play again to the following week from Sunday. So you do have a little more time to heal up from the little bangs and scrapes.
We got 9 days in between.
Yeah.
And so we feel like we got an opportunity to continue to evaluate, but certainly get most of our guys out there. I don't know if we'll get them all out there, but most of them out there for the first time this preseason.
Does it matter at all that it's at home? I mean,
I think it's great being at home, especially with the cuts occurring on Saturday. For someone like myself who's got to go through all that with the player personnel staff, and obviously our coaches are involved, it's to me a definite plus to be at home.
All right, so what's your process then? You've got the game will end sometime around 10:30 or so, 10:45, as long as we don't go to overtime, late Thursday. So do you go right in and start working on it? As the game's going on, are you kind of going through some of the paces in your head and making notes and stuff like that?
Well, you have a good idea going in.
Yeah.
That's one thing. And then, yes, after the game, you do study the film. And typically, we do it Friday. Would be doing it on Friday morning as an entire staff. And I'll get a jump start on that and study it right after the game. There's some things certainly that are different this year. But again, there's a lot of things that are the same way we've always done them. And I don't think you can ever make any excuses because it's the same for everyone. The people that are in the most difficult situation this year are the new staffs.
Yep. Yeah, without a doubt. We've seen some of the growing pains with some of those teams for sure. Speaking of the Rams, by the way, there will be at least one recognizable name on the field when the Jaguars play the Rams on Thursday. That's Mike Sims-Walker. Caught a touchdown pass in the preseason game the other day against Kansas City. Looks like he may be trying to find a role for himself there in St. Louis.
He is, and it'll be good to see Mike come back here. It'll also be good to see their quarterback. They got a good young quarterback in Sam Bradford, who started all 16 games a year ago. And then a couple of matchups to watch is Chris Long and Robert Quinn, their first-round pick, matched up against Guy Wimper and UG Monroe. So it's always good to see matchups on the edges where fans can watch those matchups and not just the football.
Yeah, and, boy, you especially talk about two young pass rushers for St. Louis, two young offensive tackles. Wimper is wouldn't be in the same situation quite as Evan Britton, but well, you watch those things and that'll give you an idea of where they are, because they're similar in terms of their development, in terms of their growth, experience in the league, that sort of thing, and maybe the kind of intensity they're going to bring out in a preseason game.
No question. And I was really proud of the way UG Monroe came out this week. He had a tremendous week of practice. I know he didn't perform the way he would have liked to have against Atlanta, but he took a step. And then Guy Wimper's continued to improve in his role as our starting right tackle with Evan being out. And so he's done some very good things as a right tackle, blocking some good pass rushers.
All right, we'll keep a close eye on those position battles and those matchups in the game on Thursday. Gene, thanks so much. We look forward to talking to you next Monday. And, of course, we'll hear from you before the game on Thursday as you chat with Brian Sexton. That'll do it for us here on Jaguars Monday with Gene Smith. For Joe Fortunato, Cole Pepper reminding you that tomorrow night it'll be the Jack Del Rio Show at 6. Jaguars this week presented by Aetna on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, 4:30 for the Sunday Drill Pit Barbecue Tailgate Show, 7:30 kickoff from Everbank Field. Until then, Cole Pepper saying thanks for listening and good night from Jaguar Central.